Imagine, if you will, taking a journey to the furthest boundaries of thought, where walls stand to contain what you think of as known reality. Imagine now, discovering that these walls are nothing but thoughts made up to limit your experience as conscious being. These walls, when seen, crumble into the sea of nothing from whence they came, revealing what we refer to here as the miracle soup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Miracle Soup. This is your host, Christoph Heinen, broadcasting to you directly from the mystical and misty foothills of Northern California. You know, I am honestly, really, truly considering changing the name of this wonderful show from Miracle Soup to something else. And what I'm considering is sharing a story to preface this decision, or this consideration, if you will. Now, some of you may know that I had the glorious opportunity to visit a prison in Southern Oregon, Sheridan, Oregon, to be exact. This was around the year 2011. I got busted for growing here in California in 2009. And so they really wanted to, I guess, make an example of me or whatever, but I ended up doing some time. I did 14 months. And while I was there, it was a really great experience, actually, a really great reset. It's not something that I would choose to do again, but I definitely wouldn't write that off as a terrible, horrible experience. It was a time of growth and introspection and kind of just like a big reset turnaround in my life. And I got to do all kinds of things. I played a lot of guitar. I played in a Grateful Dead cover band. I played lots of handball, did sweat lodges, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I don't really want to glorify it too much. Like, everyone should go to prison. It's so great. It's not like that. I mean, it's rough, but I definitely made the best of it. While I was there, we had like cubes. So we had, there were four people in a cube, two bunks on either side of like a little set of desks. And then, you know, it was kind of partitioned with these concrete walls, and you could look over the walls, so it was like a big, huge dorm room, basically, with like little concrete cubes in them, where you had your, you know, your little locker and your desk and, you know, your bed and stuff like that. And my bunkie for a little while was a guy whose name I'm not going to share because I don't think he'd really want that, but out of respect of privacy. But anyway, he was in for meth, and which, you know, is also called speed. And this guy, bless his heart, he is like, everything he did was just so fast. He walked so fast, and he ate fast, and he read fast. And it was just like, everything he did in life was very on, very like charged, quick, very efficient. You know, it's kind of like, I understand why that was his drug of choice at the time. And then he taught a yoga class because he started doing yoga, and it helped him so much. And it was power yoga. And I attended the classes. I think it was like Thursday evenings or something like that, or Thursday morning sometime. And everything about the class was like, it was like the fastest yoga. It was like supersonic speed yoga, right? It was like yoga on meth, basically. And it was like, so it was great, because it was just like great to be in a little, you know, prison studio with a few guys and do yoga on a regular basis. But he never really like emphasized the power or the importance of connecting the breath with the movements and with the asanas. So I would sort of like I knew that that was really important. So I would sort of like exaggerate my breathing sort of to try to inspire everyone, because I didn't want to be there and be like, hey, I know more about yoga than you. I've taken classes and stuff. And you're really messing up by not incorporating the breath. Like I didn't have the gall to do that. So I was like kind of like passively trying to inspire the teacher and the others in the class to breathe deep. And so I would activate my Ujjayi breathing. You know, that's the kind of breath where you kind of close off your throat, right? So like that. In the Bikram class, the first part, there's a breathing exercise in the beginning, and that's really exaggerated. You do that and you really make a loud sound to sort of activate the prana. And so I would do that, and I got this reputation as this dude who breathed really loud in yoga class. And my friend, the teacher, he gave me the nickname Zen Swamp Cooler. He's like, you sound like a Zen Swamp Cooler. And I'm like, wow, cool. What a cool name. And I've kind of stuck in my head ever since then. So since a lot of like my recent enthusiasm in life has been about the science of breathing and the therapeutic healing benefits of breath, and it's really changed my life, I've just been thinking like, wow, man, Zen Swamp Cooler. Like I kind of developed this stigma, like trying to teach people to breathe or try to stimulate people and, you know, to breathe. I don't think it helped because it sounded so weird and it was so out of context at the time. So I don't think anyone really walked out of that class thinking like, oh, I'm gonna breathe more like Christoph. I don't think that happened, but I like the ring of it. So what I'm considering here is changing things up from Miracle Soup, which has never honestly really resonated with me, to the Zen Swamp Cooler Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Zen Swamp Cooler Show. I also like the fact that it sounds so weird and it's so out of place. And I really am just like very invested sort of in my soul to not create things that are just like cookie cutter, whatever, you know, riffs or copies of other shows. You know, I kind of like to make it a little bit different. And so if you see the cover art and if you see the title of the show change to Zen Swamp Cooler, the Zen Swamp Cooler Show, don't be alarmed. Just take a deep breath and relax. Nothing is too crazy. Everything's under control. Or like they say, relax, nothing is under control. It may change the next few days. I just want to kind of get some nice cover art, actually spend a little bit of time creating something nice. So that's just a little warning. And today is a stunning day. Water everywhere. Saturated ground. Walking the dog. Hoping that you are enjoying the box breathing technique and the coherence breathing. The more that I bring that into my day, the better it gets, literally. Like I've noticed that when I create a show and I share something like, oh, box breathing, it has helped me so much. When I have a difficult time, I do box breathing and it helps. And if I share something like that, then inevitably, like, it's like the universe just gives me some more challenges in my life to kind of throw me off center a bit, so that I have to like actually live that practice. It's like I start feeling spun and I start wanting to like gravitate towards, you know, eating too much ice cream or like just zoning out or kind of moving into a little depressive funk. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What about what I just was freaking talking about on the show? So I really am sort of forced in a way to walk my talk and live the example and actually do what I'm sharing. on this medium. So it really works. Yesterday I was just kind of like gravitating into these funky states. I'm working on my bathroom, remodeling my bathroom, and I discovered that a whole nother section of the subfloor is just like totally crumbled and deteriorated and rotted. And what's more is I put my nose to it and somehow it smells like pee. Like somehow there'd been pee like drenched into the subfloor, into the particle board subfloor. So I was like, I can't have that. And it was frustrating because I'm really trying to get this thing done to put the bathtub in so I can finally take a shower and a bath in my house. It's getting a little cold for hose showers. It's been nice all summer, but hose showers are getting a little bit tougher to take when it's colder weather. But the there was just some disappointment there. I had to totally cut out a whole new section and, you know, refortify it and block it. It's going to set me back. But whatever, I was like kind of getting bummed up. And I'm like, okay, what about what you're putting out there on your show, dude? How about you walk your talk a little bit? So I did. And sure enough, man, sure enough, this breathing is like, it is so miraculous and so helpful and so effective and just brings me right into coherence. It's like, oh, okay. It's not actually that big of a deal. Let's just do one step at a time here and just connect to the harmony and set your sights and sail. The one other thing I wanted to say about that was the breathing practices are remarkable because they do feel so great when you're actually practicing the practice. But I don't think it's really so much about being able to sit down at a certain time every day and like hold your breath for a certain amount of time or go through a certain breathing protocol so exactly. It's not really you're sitting to meditate or to breathe to become a better meditator. It's like what you do in your life, right? It's how you can remember the breath when things start getting challenging or difficult. That's really the importance. It's like, how are these teachings and how are these practices actually benefiting the way that you function in the world? So it's kind of like putting the rubber to the road, so to speak. Looks like I'm walking back with Oshla here, back to the house. I've got my daughter today. So the walk was the one spot in my day where I can record. So this is day 3 of the 40-day challenge. I thank you all for listening. I thank you all for being a part of this journey, this adventure, and happy breathing, high-minded thinking, and Om Namah Shivaya. Is love.